This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again.
Oh, baseball, from the classic movie Field of Dreams. Today marks the start of this season's take on America's pastime. It is opening day for the minor league teams, including the Durham Bulls. North Carolina is home to lots of baseball teams at all levels of play, and one man who has examined almost all of them is Mark Crayon. Mark Crayon is the author of The Cradle of the Game, Baseball and Ballparks in North Carolina, and he joins us now. Mark, welcome back.
Frank, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Tell us about the baseball in North Carolina. I mean, it is a big deal. Lots of stadiums here still.
We're a hotbed for baseball. And I have to say that you and I were both smiling during that clip. Oh, it's just great memories, a great movie. Of course, the movie Bull Durham was filmed here in that was from Field of Dreams. But, of course, another Kevin Costner baseball movie, Bull Durham, was filmed here. So there's great baseball history here. We have teams at all levels, from rookie league all the way up through AAA. We have four different leagues overlapping in North Carolina. We have USA Baseball, which is the national governing body and handles our international teams and sends out teams that represent our country. Baseball America Magazine, which is the trade publication for the industry, is published here. And arguably, the Durham Bulls are the most well-known minor league team in the country, largely as a result of the movie.
And we will get to a clip because we do that opening day. That is us throwing out the first pitch. But before we get to that, let's talk about the economics of stadiums, because, you know, 1995, when they were putting that stadium for the Durham Bulls up in downtown Durham, a lot of people were shaking their heads calling Jim Goodman a little crazy, right?
Yeah, and it seems like every time someone tries to build a ballpark, there are people that say it's crazy. One of the arguments that always makes me laugh is, well, they can't fill the stadium they have. Why do they need a new one? This was one of the arguments they made over near – I live in Burlington, and right down the road, Greensboro had some very vocal stadium opponents. They were having a hard time filling the old War Memorial Stadium. They built a new stadium, and they packed the place. So it's a little bit of a chicken and egg kind of thing. But certainly this ballpark has proven to be an incredible catalyst for the city of Durham. Jim Goodman has been certainly a blessing for the city of Durham and what he's done with the real estate development around here. This American Tobacco Complex, where we're doing the show from right here, is just an amazing example of the economic impact that sports and specifically minor league baseball can bring with the night-after-night activity.
Well, that's the thing. That's always the promise. We'll build a stadium, and it's going to help everybody. Now, it does seem that, at least in Durham, it actually happened that way. Am I right about that?
It has, yeah. I think you look at the development around this ballpark, it's hard to imagine that this piece of land would have seen this kind of activity if it was just an old tobacco complex. So now it's a unique situation. Jim Goodman's a particularly good partner with the city here. Not every team owner has the wherewithal to do all this, but certainly if you build a nice ballpark in your downtown, it creates the traffic and there's an opportunity to capitalize on it for restaurants and more attractive office space, and it generally has been successful. Sometimes it takes a while. In fact, when this ballpark was built across the road here from where we sit in Durham, it took a little while for the construction cranes to move in, and some people initially said, well, you're drawing some people downtown, but there's none of this other spinoff effect. And then it started happening. So it takes a while.
They're hoping the same thing might happen in Charlotte, right? Tell us about the Charlotte Knights.
That's right. I was over there a little earlier this spring, and Dan Rajkowski, who's the general manager of the Charlotte Knights, was nice enough to give me a little tour of the stadium. And Tommy Viola, their PR man, was nice enough to let me get some photos. Gorgeous ballpark. About $54 million, a significant investment, but certainly something that downtown Charlotte was lacking. Their team was And I sometimes, no offense to our friends in South Carolina, but I refer to it as a sort of exile in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Yeah. The Charlotte team was actually playing in Fort Mill, South Carolina. And for them to bring that team back to downtown Charlotte was really, I'd say, a missing piece of their sports scene. So I think it's a big deal for them.
Well, just to show you how far things have come, you said $54 million for the proposed new stadium. And what was this stadium in 1995 in Durham?
Don't hold me this, but my memory is somewhere in the $16 to $20 million range. I couldn't swear to that, but I think it was significantly less. Now, some of that is obviously there's been some inflation since. In fact, I noticed on my wall one of the framed items I have is an opening day ticket from April 6th, 1995, the Durham Bulls, then a single A Carolina League team versus the Lynchburg Hillcats. That was the first game in the stadium for the Bulls. And it's changed a lot. One of the things in Charlotte, of course, they have some bells and whistles that this park didn't have originally. One of the big renovation that they're doing in Durham here is adding a lot of the elements that the Charlotte Park will already have, a full 360-degree concourse, more concession space, wider concourses, more club space, more places where people have table and chair type seating. So really, they're getting a beautiful state-of-the-art park in Charlotte, and it's a fair amount of money, but from what I saw with my own eyes there, they're getting their money's worth there.
Well, and it's interesting because things have changed even over that period of time in terms of what fans are looking for in the game. So talk about some of the experience they're looking for and why they're making changes across the street.
Yeah, I think that if you talk about baseball going back a generation, people went to the ball game and they bought a ticket and they sat in their seats and maybe they got up a few times to get a hot dog or go to the bathroom. And other than that, they watched baseball. And now it's an experience. It's a social experience. People want to go to the ballpark. They want to move around. They want to have a seat. They want to watch the game from there for a few innings. But then they want to move on. They want to go someplace where there's a drink rail and maybe eat their hot dogs and soda standing up and watch from a different vantage point. Then they want to go let their kid throw in the speed pitch and see how fast he throws with the radar gun. And then they might at some point, a lot of folks these days, though, don't even want a seat. They want to go sit at a restaurant-style table and watch the game from a terrace in the outfield or something like that. Big trend is also these 360-degree concourses, which allow people to take a full lap around the stadium. Used to be minor league parks went from foul pole to foul pole. Now almost all of them have, at least the new ones being built, have some kind of walkway and outfield seating and concessions so people can do a full lap around, which just seems to be the way people are. We have a shorter attention span. I guess we need more movement and more diversion than we used to.
And if you have one beer in each hand, you actually burn more calories on that lap around.
I found that to be true. Right? Yes, yeah, I find that to be true.
Well, and that gets to the experience. I mean, and you've pointed this out. This can be all things to all people, a night at the park, right?
Yeah,
that's
one of my favorite sayings about minor league baseball is that it's one of the only things in life that really can be all things to all people. And now at the risk of stereotyping a little bit, we'll generalize. But you go to the ball game, and if you're a young single guy, you can go with some of your friends. It's like the world's greatest sports bar because there's a live game going on right there. Not six games on TV, but a game going on. And you might have five other games on TV to watch, too, if you're in the right part of the park. For the family, it's a night out. The kids can go on the playground. Dad can drink a beer. Mom can get some fresh air, maybe socialize with some friends, mingle around. If you're a young couple, it can be a nice date night. There's something going on. You don't have to carry a conversation for 3 hours. You can watch the game a little bit. So it's inexpensive, and there's a game every 7 days out of every 14. So you have lots of options. It's a wonderful social experience. I tell people sometimes also that if you want to be thrilled and exhilarated, go watch a hockey game. I'm going to see the Hurricanes tonight. But if you want to relax and socialize, go to a baseball game. Spend 3 hours with somebody that you want to be around, and it does have the opportunity to be all things to all people.
What is minor league? Where does it stand now in terms of its growth? Is it a growing kind of a spectator sport? Is it plateaued? Where are we?
I would say it's still growing because I think people are more and more looking for affordable, authentic experiences that are close to home. And so I don't think you're going to see any real change. The minor league baseball continues to grow. New facilities are built. just look in our state at a market like Charlotte bringing minor league baseball downtown again. So the trend is definitely towards downtown ballparks. There's a lot of enthusiasm around them. Cities see it as a standard part of the playbook for getting the most out of their downtown for quality of life and economic development. So I don't see the trend reversing. And attendance has been steadily trending up. And a lot of that has to do with these nice new facilities. People love a nice ballpark.
Are there cities that build these things, and I've heard that there are, with an eye toward attracting a major league team? So you've got that in the back of your mind. But is it any better for a city to actually have a major league team?
Well, that's a good question, and it's much debated. I think over in Charlotte there was some significant opposition to the new park being built downtown, and some of it was based around the fact that there were some people who said, if we build this, we'll block any chance we have in the foreseeable future of getting a major league team. If you want to talk about bang for the buck, the stadium in Charlotte is being built for about $54 million. And it's worth pointing out, actually, that the team is paying the majority of that. There's been some government land contributed and things, but the team's paying the bulk of that. Most of the current major league stadiums have been built in the last few years. They were in the $450 to $500 million range. So you talk about 10 times the expense. And here in Durham, in Charlotte, they're going to draw 8,000-9,000 a night, maybe. Certainly on the peak nights, they'll get 10,000-12,000 people in the park. So a big league team, you have to sell more expensive tickets. You have to sell a lot more of them. You probably have to average 25,000 to be viable. And so you're getting maybe two or three times the foot traffic for 10 times the amount of money.
Cost. Yeah, you got to sell a lot of hot dogs to get $400,000 back, right?
Now, yeah. if you're New York, you can't put a minor league team in Yankee Stadium. But if you're Charlotte or Durham, you have to think real hard about what that's worth to you. And I think I'm a fan of the minors. I've worked many years in the minors, and my heart is in minor league baseball. But I really feel like for communities that unless it's a slam dunk that they're a major league market, that it's a very easy decision that the minors give more bang for the buck.
Some towns are actually losing their team. Kinston lost their team, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the developments that we talk about a little bit in the book. Some of this, it was a little bit of a game of musical chairs there. The Mudcats franchise was purchased by a group in Pensacola, Florida, who felt like Pensacola could handle a double-A team. They built a nice new ballpark down there. The Mudcats ownership, in turn, bought the Kinston Indians, which was a single-A team, and moved them to Zebulon and installed them in the same ballpark, gave them the Mudcats name. And unfortunately, this game of musical chairs, the folks in Kinston were left with no place to sit, which is particularly tragic when you factor in that they have really one of the most beautiful classic minor league ballparks you'll find anywhere, let alone North Carolina, but a gorgeous park. Granger Stadium, I sometimes refer to as the Fenway Park of the Minors because it's a classic WPA-era ballpark with lots of improvements that have been done. Whether Kinston's a big enough town to attract single-A baseball again is a good question. They may be better off making a move to summer college baseball, which is also written about quite a bit in the book Cradle of the Game. And for cities that have lost a team, this is a great alternative. It gives you a hometown team, a short season, some local players, and it lets you have a hot dog and a beer and go to the old ballpark and keep that economic activity humming in your park.
That name Mudcats reminds me of one of my favorite parts of the game, which is the name that they were the Mudcats, the Mud Hens. My favorite, the Lehigh Iron Pigs.
Yeah, Iron Pigs is a good.
Isn't that great?
Good one? Yep.
Okay, so we're running out of time. We have to play our obligatory Bull Durham film clip. It's just simply gratuitous. We do it on this day every year. Here it goes.
Excuse me, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nook's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live, was it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of
Okay, well, candlesticks always make a nice gift, and maybe you can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern. Okay, let's get to it. Here we go.
There you go. The season is officially underway. The Durham Bulls, by the way, tonight play the hated Gwinnett Braves in their home opener. I'm talking to Mark Cryan, who is an instructor in sports event management at Elon and has written the book, The Cradle of the Game, Baseball and Baseball Parks in North Carolina. Who are some of the characters who kind of make it a colorful story in North Carolina?
Well, boy, you could pick any number of them. There's Enos Country Slaughter, grew up in Roxborough. He was a Hall of Famer and a notable figure. We could run a list all down the rosters of all-time minor league baseball. Two of the ones that I feature in the book, though, are a couple of my favorites. Miles Wolf, who I sometimes joke that in minor league baseball, all roads lead to Miles Wolf eventually, because Miles was the owner of Baseball America, that trade publication we mentioned. He founded the Durham Bulls back in 1980. He owns the Burlington team for, so disclaimer time, I worked for Miles with the Burlington Indians and now the Royals. He still owns that team. And he was also at the forefront of the independent baseball movement, which gave us the Northern League and eventually spun off to the Can-Am League and the Northeast League. And it spawned a whole movement of teams being created in cities that the majors didn't want to put affiliates in. These are non-affiliated teams. So Miles is one. He's a major figure in the sport, and his office is right down the road here in Durham. And then one of my other personal favorites, Jack McKeon, who, of course, famously managed the Marlins to their Cinderella story victory over the Yankees in the World Series. When Jack was at a point in his career that a lot of people are already saying he was too old to manage in the majors, and he certainly showed folks that they were wrong. Jack lives in Burlington, and I see him from time to time, and he is a real old-time baseball guy. He's salty, but he is as good a person as you'll find, community-minded, and both of those guys were kind enough to do interviews with me in the book. The one with Miles focuses on the making of the movie Bull Durham, so it's a behind-the-scenes look at the making of everyone's favorite baseball movie. And Jack's interview focused a lot on his time in North Carolina, in and around the minors in North Carolina. He got his first chance to manage with the Carolina League team in Fayetteville, the old Fayetteville Highlanders. And he's just a wonderful person, very generous with his time, comes to speak to my classes over at Elon University every so often. So I can't say enough good things about Jack, but one of the truly colorful figures in the game in our state.
Mark, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Frank, I'll just say, see you at the yard. Meet.
See. Who do you like tonight? The hated Gwinnett Braves or our own Durham Bulls?
That's a leading question, but I'm going to go with the Bulls.
Good answer, Mark. Mark Cryan is an instructor in sport and event management at Elon University, the author of The Cradle of the Game, Baseball and Ballparks in North Carolina. More details on the book at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Megan Modafferi, and Anita Rao. Robin Copley is the technical director, Brent Wolf the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.